I'm Noah, and this is the United States Constitution. If you haven't already, follow @PodConstitution on Twitter and follow the link in the bio to download and or print your own copy of the United States Constitution. So let's get started. Article 3 establishes the judicial branch. The judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. The judges, both Supreme and inferior courts, shall hold their offices during good behavior, and shall at stated times receive for their services a compensation, which shall not be diminished during their continuance in office. One of the first things Congress did in 1789 was set up a federal judiciary with 6 justices. Today we have a 3-level federal court system: trial courts, courts of appeals, and Supreme Court. In total, there are about 800 federal judges. Every single one of those judges was appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate. So here's the question. Why did the framers guarantee that we would have a Supreme Court, but leave open the possibility that there would be no other federal courts depending on what the politicians in Congress decided? The answer tells us something about the debates at the time the Constitution was written. To some people in the United States at that time, the federal government seemed almost like a foreign government. Those people's main loyalty was to their states. The federal government was far away, and they did not feel they had much say in who ran it. If you thought that way, an extensive system of federal courts staffed by judges who were appointed by the president, who might not have a lot of connections to the state and its government, amounted to allowing the foreign federal government to get its tentacles into every corner of the nation. Other framers, though, thought that the federal government could not be effective unless it had courts to help enforce its laws. If everything were looked at with the state courts, states that were hostile to the new federal government might thwart it at every turn. The second part is a provision designed to make sure that the judges are independent. They can decide cases according to what they think the law requires, without worrying about if some powerful person or even a majority of the people will object. So here's the purpose of the Supreme Court. Alexander Hamilton said, "To secure a steady, upright, and impartial administration of the laws." Holding offices during good behavior has been interpreted to mean the only way the federal judges can be removed from office is if the House impeaches and the Senate convicts of treason, bribery, and or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Only 15 have ever been impeached, and only 8 of those have been convicted. Any judge that does not commit a crime is a judge for life. Section 2 empowers the judiciary. The judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution, the laws of the United States, and treaties made, of which shall be made under their authority, to all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers and consuls, to all cases of admiralty and maritime jurisdiction, to controversies which the United States shall be a party, to controversies between 2 or more states, between a state and a citizen of another state, between citizens of different states, between citizens of the same state, claiming lands under grants of different states, and between a state or the citizens thereof and foreign states, citizens or subjects. In all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers or consuls, and those in which a state shall be party, the Supreme Court shall have original jurisdiction. In all the other cases before mentioned, the Supreme Court shall have appellate jurisdiction, both as to law and fact, with such exceptions and under such regulations as the Congress shall make. There are 2 things the federal courts rule on: cases and controversies. In the cases column, we have law, equity, ambassadors, ministers, consuls, admiralty, maritime. In the controversies column, we have citizens versus the United States, citizens versus states themselves, states versus states, citizens versus citizens, and citizens versus other country citizens. In all cases, everywhere, the Supreme Court has the final say. The trial of all crimes, except in cases of impeachment, shall be by jury, and such trial shall be held in the state where the said crimes shall have been committed, but when not committed within any state, the trial shall be at such place or places as the Congress may by law have directed. All trials, everywhere, must have a jury, except impeachments. Section 3 is the Treason Clause. Treason against the United States shall consist only in the levying war against them, or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. No person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act, or on confession in open court. Congress declares the punishment for treason. Treason is unique in a sense that is the only crime expressly defined by the Constitution. Treason is declaring war against the United States, joining the United States enemies, or giving aid and comfort to the United States enemies. No one can be convicted of treason unless by a testimony of two witnesses to the same act, or a confession in open court. Section 3 goes on. The Congress shall have power to declare the punishment of treason, but no attainder of treason shall work corruption of blood or forfeiture, except during the life of the person attainted. Again, Congress declares the punishment for treason. Corruption of blood or forfeiture refers to English common law, meaning that family members cannot receive the effects of that person. The Constitution strictly prohibits any punishment that goes beyond the life of the person convicted. So corruption of blood or forfeiture is prohibited. A huge deal of every presidential election is the Supreme Court. A large part of Donald Trump's voters were effectively voting for the Supreme Court justices that he would undoubtedly appoint. This is a large part of every president's voter turnout. The president can appoint whomever he wants to the Supreme Court. Although the Supreme Court is supposed to be impartial, every single person on the face of the earth has their own bias. The president wants the Supreme Court to be biased in his constituency's favor. This can overturn previous decisions or make new decisions that relate to whichever side of an issue the president and his voters may or may not be on. The Supreme Court is quite possibly the most powerful branch of our government, even though it's three co-equal parts. When we get to the 10th Amendment, we'll discuss some Supreme Court rulings that may or may not have been constitutional. I'm Noah, and this is the United States Constitution. I hope you'll join me next time for Article 4.